Well, have a good recording.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to TikTok, the podcast in which we rate and review smut books recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
I'm Emily.
And this week we read Saving Mia by Anna Stone.
Mia is in her early 20s. She has functionally had to give up most of her young adulthood because her sister had heart troubles and her family really couldn't afford the medical bills. So rather than going to college or having a social life whatsoever, she split her time between working at a grocery store and taking care of her sister. Now the time has come for her to give up her virginity. And she's like, what do I need in this world? Money. What can this virginity get me? Money. So she decides to auction off her virginity. Cassandra is a power lesbian with a dark past. She's on every most successful list. She runs a business that acquires failing businesses and turns them around. And she is feeling kind of horny one night and goes on to a website where she has gotten services before. She's a dom, you see. And she stumbles across Mia's listing for her virginity. She flashes back to when she was young and vulnerable and an idiot in the city, and she decides to help this girl out by bidding $2 million on her virginity. The two of them meet in an exclusive club to talk about their arrangement, and Cassandra, impromptu, decides that Mia should move in with her and be her full-time sub. How will this unfold? Read Saving Mia by Anna Stone. Hottest scene.
The one that's standing out to me is the St. Andrew's Cross in the resort.
The exclusive S&M resort.
Right.
Casa de la Diosa.
Behind the black door.
I chose not to pick one. Like, I even re-skimmed through the book and was like, you know, it's not that they're bad sex scenes, but none of them stood out as hottest to me. So I'm sorry to have a lame report of declining to choose one, but there we are.
Let's delve into that in a minute.
Yeah.
I said the final scene, which is, I think, in the epilogue, because it was kind of the only real sex scene to me.
Was that a strap-on scene?
Yes.
Okay.
It was not the only real sex scene to me because it involved a penis-like
object.
Because...
Yeah, because there was, like,
actual penetration.
The first scene where Cassandra, our other main character, actually gets some herself.
Yeah.
And is not just the giver of pleasure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there was, like, a fingering scene, and that is what Mia was counting as losing her virginity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, again, like, that does not require a penis
right.
to be real sex, quote unquote. But, like... I don't know, man.
I think there have been plenty of women in the world who have been fingered and haven't considered it
yes.
losing their virginity.
I was just about to say that, like,
yep.
way before I had penis sex.
Penis sex.
which is what the kids are calling it now.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have considered a little finger banging losing my virginity.
After that scene, I was like, she could still auction this off.
Mm-hmm.
She can do another auction.
Now,
second highest bidder, where you at?
Right. And she could have just lied that
yeah.
it was her virginity.
She doesn't seem the type.
Like, hymen tests don't mean shit. Like, she could do this as a
billion times.
A scam, yeah.
Uh-huh.
She could be like, oh, I don't know how to fuck because I never have countless times and just make millions of dollars.
Dang, I got some bills to pay.
Right? Like,
huh? Uh-huh.
How are we measuring this? How are we making sure that she's,
you know,
not lying?
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the market wants it.
This is late stage capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do what you must.
Yeah. And also, the whole virginity as a concept is fucking stupid, and we know that. But
we do.
Why would you want to pay upwards or over $1 million? To fuck someone who has no experience fucking.
Now there's the question of the
hour.
Oh,
I want to deflower her. I want to, like, I know that's, like, the reason, but that's a stupid fucking reason.
It is.
Yeah, I'm going to pay $1 million to someone who doesn't know how to give a blowjob. I'm going to have a great time. That's me as a man.
Ooh. Thanks, Killian.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
In case this is the first episode of Dick Talk that you have tuned into, we should warn you, if this book sounds like something you'd like to read, our podcast is full of spoilers. We do not shy away from them, as you can already tell. If you have read the book, we would love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DIKTOKPOD.
I feel like most of our listeners haven't read the book.
Yeah.
They just listen to like, whoa, what?
I wanted to like this book a whole lot more than I did.
I was thirsting for this book to be better than it was.
I know. I liked the drama that was going on with Diane and stuff, but there could have been more fucking to balance that out. There didn't need to be less drama. There needed to be more fucking.
My question about the external drama was why. And not so much why the Diane or why the Bruno, but why both parallel issues happening with our two main characters.
Because they're complicated.
They dovetailed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so Diane is coming after Cassandra because she was her first dom and she was very rich and powerful and secretly ran all sorts of criminal enterprises.
Which, like, great criminal enterprises. Yeah. Can we just? So yeah. She would, like, send young girls to sleep with powerful men and
get
gain
black
their secrets.
Material.
And then she would extort them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Yeah.
How is this even illegal?
The young girls were sometimes quite young.
Yeah.
That's not so great.
Well, and blackmail is... in fact illegal.
Yeah, whatever.
Although
yeah.
Cassandra does make the point, like, the girls always thought they were choosing it, and it's like, well, they were getting paid to sleep with powerful men and get their secrets. Yeah, I can see agreeing to that. Like, I'm not sure that's necessarily like exploiting anybody.
Yeah,
except again, I mean, if they're underage.
Yeah, well, and also a lot of them were like desperate runaways. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Like Cassandra was.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, how much of a choice is it really if your other choice is starving and homelessness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Late stage capitalism.
Yeah. I had the thought many times that social safety nets would have invalidated the entire plot of this book.
Oh my God.
The yeah, Breaking Bad
Breaking
issue.
Bad, yeah.
Yes. What if Mia's sister didn't have enough medical bills to bankrupt the entire family? What if when Cassandra was young and she had to escape her close-minded, abusive family, what if she hadn't been destitute on the streets? Could have gone a lot different.
We would just have two normal young ladies just doing them.
Separately. Never met.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Book never would have happened.
Did you cast this in your mind like I did?
No, but now that you ask the question, it's like, who would I pick?
Yeah. I was thinking Constance Wu as Cassandra, Cameron Esposito as Riley. I don't know who I would choose as Mia because I just kept thinking about this Degrassi character named Mia. I mean, she's an adult now. She's like my age. It's like the actress, not the character, obviously. For some reason, I just couldn't. What do y'all think? Mm.
Yeah, for me, I just thought generic blonde.
Was she blonde?
No.
God. No, but that's okay. What my brain kept was like, envisioning.
The last six books we've read, all the protagonists are redheads, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Mia's a redhead. I'm going to look up what Constance Wu looks like.
She's from Crazy Rich Asians and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
It's all about the hair for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, man, I should never talk about actors because I don't know anybody's name. Sandra Oh. Definite Sandra Oh hair, although I think Constance is shorter than Sandra Oh.
Mm-hmm. Man, I had some thoughts about Cassandra in chapter one.
Tell us your
apparently,
thoughts.
God, what she wants is such a one-way street, and I get it. She has to have a character arc. But
did she have a character arc?
Well, she at least became, like, self-aware enough of, like, her motives for bidding on Mia.
She was somewhat aware of them to start.
Yeah, it felt like a light switch. Like, she was just like, no connections. Oh, well, I guess I do have feelings. You know, I was just like,
yeah.
Okay.
The first one about her that I have says, but none of them had been able to offer her what she truly desired, complete and unwavering submission, body, mind, and soul. That was what Cassandra craved from a lover. Very few women had ever been able to offer her more than just a shadow of that. Some pretended well, but Cassandra could always see through their acts, and the few that had been genuine, they'd wanted more from her. An emotional connection, a commitment, a mistress who owned not just their body, but their heart. I'm like, girl, so what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, do you want it to be genuine? You don't want them to pretend, but you don't want them to be genuine because then you have to, like, have an emotion.
You want them to love you, but you don't want them to love you.
Right. And it also says, but Cassandra didn't want perfect. She wanted real. I'm like, how real can it be if you have to pay them? But also, like, not too real, apparently.
Yep.
Did eschewing connections of the heart make that impossible? Could she ever find what she wanted without giving a piece of herself to another? Sorry, like, if we want the rewards of being loved, you have to submit to the mortifying ordeal of being known, Cassandra.
Just, I felt bad for Mia, like, Mia girl, this is not a healthy dynamic to be getting into. And you don't know any better because you haven't had any relationships before. But Cassandra is older. She holds all the money in this relationship. She holds all the power. Mm-hmm. Maybe run away a little bit.
I had some issues with how this author leaned very much on telling and not showing. Like from the get-go with the first business deal, Cassandra's like, all right, I'm tired of being fucked with, later. But we didn't get to see her actually like make the deal, really. And then when she's talking to, was the lady's name Penelope or whatever, the one she was trying to get into the Queen's Club. Mm-hmm. And the lady's like, I've seen enough. I want to join. And I'm like, what?
Show us. What's so great about your fancy club?
You didn't even tell her the price. What do you mean? She's
money
just
is
gonna
no
join?
Object for these people.
And then also when they go to the sex club, we see one scene and then there's a follow-up line of like, and she went around and we watched all these scenes and showed me my heart's desire. I'm like, come on.
Mm-hmm. What was
come
happening?
On. What did you see?
Is we want to see the scenes too.
Yeah.
Let's find out if it's our heart's desire.
Oh, also, when she's looking at the contract, and she's like, and it went into personal depth or something like that. And I was like, where?
Show us.
Yeah. And then she reads out every single thing, and it's like, no, there's nothing.
No masturbating.
There's nothing personal.
No, touching the dom.
Was it's the just closest. Rules. And it doesn't actually say masturbation. It says, like, no self
pleasure.
Pleasure. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Okay, so I'm just supposed to be fucking miserable then.
Yep.
Can't even have any ice cream. At one point, they're at a French restaurant, and Mia glanced down at her own menu. It took her far too long to realize that the reason she couldn't read it wasn't because she was flustered, but because it was in French. I was like, at the French restaurant?
No.
Oh, mais non.
She must have been quite flustered.
Yeah.
This poor girl.
Also, yeah, it's kind of rude to take someone to a place where they can't read the menu.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that Cassandra will just order for her.
But she doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
She reads, she describes every single dish.
That's true.
And Mia picks. Cassandra's a really nice dom.
Yeah.
She should be meaner.
Yeah. Mia should have just done what Emily and I did and got a French degree.
There you go.
And then she would have just known.
Yeah.
You're fucked when you go to a Korean restaurant, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
She didn't go to college, guys. How do you feel? You're being classist.
I mean, is a French degree really going to get you that far in life?
Well, we're all employed.
Womp womp. Not using my degree.
Nope,
me neither.
Nope.
Okay, well, just use Duolingo then. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Google Translate. It's actually really effective.
Is it good for menus?
I don't know, but I've used it for talking to Russian ballet like for years.
Okay. We need to go on a field trip to another country,
you know,
just to find out if Google Translate works.
Seems financially feasible.
Yeah. With all our proceeds from the
podcast.
Our
Patreon that we don't have yet. I don't know.
We don't. No.
No.
Hey, one day when we're sponsored by MeUndies.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. I'm wearing some right now.
Me too.
Me too.
My last pair of clean.
I just got a new bra and it has rum cocktails
on
it.
Oh, so cute.
Yes.
Anyway, I just showed everyone.
This is a visual platform.
Mm-hmm. Also, the first banking scene, she had her underwear on. Which I didn't realize until the reread when I was sitting in that chair right over there waiting for Jonathan to leave. Yeah. I was like, this virginity makes me want to cry.
At one point, Cassandra gifted her some lingerie. And it says, Mia's skin grew hot. Cassandra had bought her lingerie. Did that mean she expected to see Mia wearing it? I was like, girl, literally what else would it mean?
And then she's like, no, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Ding dong.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
She shook her head. She was reading too much into it.
Maybe it means you're like
literally
15-year-old fruit of the looms that you've had since eighth grade and need to go.
God.
Okay, so attacked.
Not that long, but
there was the trope of Cassandra buying her the clothes and having her closet stocked. And I was like, this is fine because they're women. And I was like, no, it's not. How'd she know her shoe size? You buy lingerie and didn't get her measurements? Girl, how?
Mm, yeah.
It's okay. A woman knows.
A woman knows.
False.
What if false. In one of these books we did have an entire scene of just like measuring the bust, measuring the ribs, measuring the waist, like just
just to have it out there.
But okay, could it be sexy?
So I'm considering doing NaNoWriMo this year, and instead of doing a novel, I'm just gonna write all the scenes that I need in these books for them to make sense, and that's gonna be one of them. The hair washing is gonna be one of them. They're all gonna be awkward and they're gonna be funny, but I'm gonna try to make them sexy too.
Yes,
we'll see. We'll see if any of this actually happens, but that's my goal.
Awkward smut.
Yep,
I like it. Collection of short stories
by whatever my pen name's gonna be.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like a hair washing scene could be sexy.
Yeah,
I think you can do it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I encourage you.
I kept wanting there to be more intrigue than there was. Like, I was convinced, okay, we knew Diane was the big bad, and she'd just gotten released from prison, and she was gonna come for Cassandra. I really thought, like, the new club member Penelope, she's a plant for Diane. She's gotta be.
I absolutely thought that,
Casa
too.
Casa de la Diosa with the free invite. Diane's gonna show up.
Oh, man, that would've been great.
No,
she just gets called while she's at the BDSM resort, and Riley's like, oh, Riley is her security guard. Yeah, Diane like broke into your office or whatever, and Cassandra's like, okay, I gotta come back immediately. I'm like, y'all gotta fuck first. Y'all gotta do something.
Nope, they don't.
Oh my gosh, I highlighted it because it happened more than once, and it's Mia saying, she held back a curse. Were the two of them doomed to be interrupted by phone calls at inopportune times forever?
It happened at like four times.
It did.
Do you think Anna Stone just didn't want to write a sex scene?
I do. I want to talk about Anna Stone.
Yes. Go for it.
And I don't want to be too hard on her because I think that the lack of sex is a Gen Z gay thing. I see it all the time, all over the internet. The gaybies are afraid of sex.
Ah.
And
it's because they haven't left their house in 3 years.
And gay relationships specifically, especially WLW relationships, have to be like cottagecore, hand-holding, eye-gazing.
Because they're afraid of coming off as predatory.
Right, which is...
It's so not...
It's reductive.
That. Yeah.
It's reductive. Are we in the 1960s? No.
Women can fuck. Women should fuck each other.
Yeah. Nasty.
Nasty.
I looked her up. She's a young black author.
Okay.
Dig it. I thought this was really progressive in a lot of ways. Like, we had a non-binary character, Killian just mentioned. We had bunches of races, but the sex. Like, this is a smut book written by a prude.
I found myself wondering, like, is the author not very well acquainted with or into BDSM herself?
That
because
could
that could
be
have been part of the reason to shy away from these
scenes. But, like, go on Pornhub.
That's all you gotta do.
I mean,
yeah.
The thing that got me wasn't so much the lack of sex scenes in the reality of the book, but like in her fantasies, it was so very clean.
Yeah. And a big part of it was Sandra was saying like subservience isn't about sex, which fine.
But you know what sexual fantasies are about?
Sex.
Sex.
Yeah, you know, I also appreciated she was like, I'm not gonna try to have sex with you until you are begging me for it, which, okay.
Hot, that didn't happen either.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they had 30 days together as per the deal, and it was like 20 days or so into it. I remember she was like, oh no, we only have like 10 days left of our deal. Just fuck.
Like, do it. Like, I know you work all the time, Cassandra, but make some time. You gotta live in sub.
Like, you're a CEO. How much are you really working?
But Mia had reminded her what it was like to live, really live. And I was like, when?
Yeah, literally, like,
when you left her alone at your apartment all day for days on end.
She cooked me that carbonara that one time.
Ooh.
I mean, if it's a good carbonara, that's enough to change
life. I do love a carbonara. Life. Love a creamy pasta.
And this whole thing went so slowly.
Yep.
It went so slowly. How much longer could Cassandra keep pretending that Mia was just another submissive? The month was more than half gone now. Nothing has happened!
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I get, like, time will pass you by like nothing, but you've got a person living in your house
who, at this that you paid
$2 million for,
does not have a job anymore.
Yeah.
So she's just sitting in Cassandra's house,
mm-hmm,
waiting all day, cooking a meal. What? And she's not even allowed to masturbate. Like, what is she doing all day?
Which, for the record.
Yeah, girl.
And I understand why a black author wouldn't want to write this, or why anyone with any sensitivities whatsoever. The common phrase for a live-in sub is a slave. And every time she wrote, like, live-in sub, I was like, that's a mouthful. That's a much bigger mouthful than what most people say.
Eesh.
Yeah. I can see why you wouldn't want to use that word for that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think she said servant a few times. I know she told her family that she was Cassandra's maid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not made to come.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, she comes from, like, a look. She comes from being told to be a good girl.
That's
so, like,
true. God, her poor panties must be just...
Going to confess to some naivete here. But do strap-ons really go around the waist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a harness.
Like,
yeah.
You go the natural waist?
I mean, hers would be custom-made because she's rich, right? So
Okay.
Yeah, probably more, I guess, around the hips.
See, hips is what I was thinking. But the way it read was, like, around her waist. And I was thinking, like, if she's got curves at all, that's, like, right under the boobs. Yeah.
Yeah. That would make the dildo, like, coming out of the belly button.
Exactly.
Yeah. Probably around her hips. I mean, you'd have more control over it around your hips.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was hoping for Mia's sake.
Good
question. And Cassandra's sake, because unless you're, like, a pro belly dancer and can really undulate that belly.
Ooh, doing the isolations.
I don't put anything past her. Can we talk about having an Asian dom and choosing tiger as your safe word?
I didn't even think about that.
I was like, oh, no.
Maybe it's like a go get 'em tiger kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's a really unsexy thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, most safe words are.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to another one later.
I think my favorite scene, which was not at all a sex scene, was Diane just lurking in the restaurant bathroom. For Mia to come in, it's like, woman, you are supposed to be the powerful villainess. And our first actual scene with you, you're hiding in a bathroom waiting to see if your victim's going to show up.
What if she never did?
What if she never did? Like,
she'd just have to go to the next bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Also, I was like, oh, great, a kidnapping scene. It's been too long.
Too many of our books have a kidnapping scene.
Oh, fucking kidnapping scene. What if Mia had just peaced out at the end of the month?
I got my $2 million. Yeah.
That's exactly what Cassandra claims to want. So.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a happily ever after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That solves every problem in this book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Diane getting set on fire.
Bro! She should not have survived that.
She survived because there was going to be another book.
Lit the club on fire. She was knocked the fuck out in the fire. They escaped.
There were accelerants.
Yeah.
And she survived it. No.
God.
Okay. The first sex scene after the abduction, Cassandra ties Mia up.
Oh, I thought the same thing. I was like, are we going to?
Let's unpack this a little. Nope. Mia's just down with it. No trauma whatsoever.
Yeah, maybe ask if that's okay. Because she just experienced that in a bad way.
Yeah, the tying up scene. I was like, is this fine?
I don't think it's fine.
Okay, I think Mia should have got the $2 million immediately upon moving into Cassandra's. Because that was a bait and switch otherwise. You auction off your virginity, you agree to a deal, and all of a sudden, oh, no, we got to wait a month. Or at least give her an advance so she could pay her bills.
Like, auctioning off your virginity theoretically could just be a one and done. And then you get $2 million.
Well, this comes down to Mia's inability to communicate. Because Cassandra will give her literally whatever.
That's true.
Yeah. She's like, you have a weird debt problem, like a guy falling. Let me take care of it.
Right.
And she's like, no, for reasons.
For plot reasons.
Let her fix it.
Yeah. Like you said, like at least give her enough of the $2 million to pay off that debt immediately.
Like, I don't think it was a problem for Cassandra at all. She just didn't think about it. Like, because rich people don't think about what it's like living paycheck to paycheck. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah. What it's like being in debt to a loan shark.
Cassandra would have probably paid off all of the hospital bills and still given her $2 million.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the kind of person she
is. Honestly, I
kind
of thought that was going to happen.
Me too.
I mean, at least she still got $2 million.
Yeah.
What are the taxes like on $2 million?
Oh, yeah, she got them. She got the $2 million at the end.
And then she moved in, so it didn't matter.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she paid off all the medical debt, paid off the mortgage on the house, saved enough for Holly to go to college and for herself to go to college, I think. But then she was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that.
I got too hot a deal right now with my billionaire girlfriend.
Fuck yeah.
Billionaire fiance by the end of the book, because of course.
Don't they get married? Was that this book? I thought they had the wedding day at the end in the epilogue.
Oh. I thought they just fucked in the epilogue.
No, I think there was something about a wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were planning the wedding.
Oh.
Right? Because I remember it was a year after planning that friend's wedding.
They get married.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, there's an officiant. There's vows.
Y'all, we all three read this book.
We sure did. This was the last one I finished. This was the most recent one I read. Yeah, and after they exchanged their first kiss, Cassandra took her wife's hand in hers and whispered into her ear, Mia, she said, mine.
Mm.
And that's the end. I rated this. Mamma mia, that's a spicy book. It wasn't that spicy, but I just wanted to make that joke.
I just kept thinking, my kingdom for a social safety net.
Aww.
But I think about that in life. That's more than a rating for this book. That's a
You're
rating
just a
for...
goddamn socialist. I rated it like that famous Alison Bechdel book, Power Lesbians Who Occasionally Spank You.
Just occasionally.
As smutty as we got.
TikTok stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Sherp. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.